Golden State Media Concepts bring you Book Review Podcast, a haven for bookworms of all ages and the widest genres, from mystery to memoirs, romance to comedy, fantasy to sci-fi. If you love to read, this is the podcast for you. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am your host, Sarah, and we are here on this last day of May. This year is going so fast. We're here to talk about some books. I was thinking about what to include in this episode, and I was thinking about some of the interviews that I've done in over the last year. If you tuned into the episode a couple of times ago, I was giving a few updates on some of the new books that the authors that I've interviewed have coming out. So as I was doing that episode, I was looking through all of the authors that I've interviewed and their books, etc. And so as I was looking through that list, I came across Jeannie M. Dixon's Grounded Hearts. That interview was a while back. I won't say a couple of weeks like I kept saying last time, because it wasn't. It was last year sometime. Grounded Hearts is set in Ireland in World War II, and I interviewed her a while back. So I was thinking about some of the other World War II historical fiction books that I've read. And a couple years ago, I seem to have gone through this phase almost unintentionally where I read a whole bunch of historical fiction novels set during World War II in various locations and different storylines. So I thought, hey, there is a common theme. Maybe I will do an episode on historical fiction set during World War II. There's a lot of great books out there, and it's a good way to, familiarize yourself with a part of history without necessarily reading history textbooks, which, depending on how they're written, aren't everybody's cup of tea. Not everyone likes reading that type of nonfiction. But if it's well-written and well-researched, historical fiction can be a good way to not only learn about a time period, but also to get a more personal feel for that time period. You know, the people might be fictionalized, but they are, the setting is usually during, I mean, the setting is during a real time in history, and research is done to find out what was going on, how people were reacting, how people were living, etc. So it's a really good personalized way to get into an era of history. And like I said, I kind of unintentionally ended up just reading a bunch of novels set during World War II. I didn't set out to find a whole bunch of novels set during this time period. I just kept reading them. I actually found one book that I wanted to read, and it turned out it was set during World War II. I can't even remember why I stumbled across it, but I was like, oh, hey, look, another World War II novel. Anyway, that is a rather blah version of how this episode came to be. So first book that I'm going to talk about actually came out in 2007. So, wow, it's 11 years old already. And that's The Book Thief, which many of you have probably already read. Some of you have maybe seen the movie. I have not seen the movie yet. I still want to see that. I read this book about 3 years ago now, I think. It had been on my TBR list for a while, and I had taken some time off from work at that point, and I had some extra time, and I remember just lying on the couch in the sunshine. It was, we don't really have winter here in Northern California, but it was as much winter as it could be. It was February or March, and so lying in the sunshine was actually nice, and lying in the sunshine with the puppies on my lap and just reading this book and devouring it and reading it straight through. It was one of those books that when I finished, I was like, oh, shoot, why did I read that so fast? Now I'm without a book. So maybe you've already read this, maybe you haven't, but this is my first choice in my World War II historical fiction episode. Let me give you the description of that book. It is The Book Thief by Marcus Zusak. And the description is as follows. When death has a story to tell, you listen. It is 1939, Nazi Germany. The country is holding its breath. Death has never been busier and will become busier still. Liesel Memminger is a foster girl living outside of Munich who scratches out a meager existence for herself by stealing when she encounters something she can't resist, books. With the help of her accordion-playing foster father, she learns to read and shares her stolen books with her neighbors during bombing raids, as well as with the Jewish man hidden in her basement. So that is a really interesting description of this book. You know, it's been a few years since I read it, and when I went on to Amazon to read the description, I was like, well, yeah, that kind of describes the book, maybe. But the first thing that jumps out at you is when death has a story to tell, you listen. And that's the first thing that you notice about this book, is that it's being told by death. It's not told from the perspective of Liesel, who is the main character. She is the book thief. No, it is told by death, who is very busy, unfortunately, because this is a time of war. And so death is watching the events of the war unfold. Death is watching the events surrounding Liesel Memminger unfold. And Liesel is, as it says, a foster girl. So she's living outside of Munich. Her, you get her story in pieces throughout the book, and I won't give you too much of it, but her mother sends her and her younger brother to live elsewhere. It's happened to so many children during the war in different countries. And her brother actually dies on the train going out. So that kind of starts her journey, and she experiences a lot of survivor guilt over that. And she's the book thief. It's interesting because she, I think the number is five. I think she talks about the five books that she steals during this time. Or maybe Death talks about the five books that she steals. And each book has, there's a story behind why she steals it. And she becomes fascinated with words. As it says, her foster father teaches her to read. Her foster father is a good man who does everything he can to kind of help Liesel. Her foster mother is a more complicated character, much harder, not as easy to like, but still has, you know, her sense of integrity about her. Then their situation becomes more complicated. So first off, this book is interesting because it's told by death. It's also interesting in a World War II perspective because it is set in Nazi Germany. Often books are, you know, when I think of World War II books, I often think of them being set elsewhere, maybe Britain, or, you know, maybe England, maybe France, maybe America, you know, somewhere on the Allies side. This is told about Nazi Germany. So you really are seeing what it's like to just be kind of an ordinary person living in Nazi Germany during this time, maybe knowing what's going on, maybe trying to ignore what's going on, maybe being fully supportive of what's going on. But you really get a glimpse into the lives of people. And there are ways that people are trying to at various levels trying to resist what the Nazis are doing. It's a very dangerous time to be living, you know, and even if it's perceived that you're resisting or working against the government, it can be very dangerous. So the fact that Hans hides a Jewish man in his basement is huge, and it's to fulfill a promise that he made to someone who saved his life. I think it was during World War I. So he's hiding a Jewish man in his basement in the middle of Munich in Nazi Germany in 1939. Talk about dangerous. So Liesel is experiencing a lot for a young girl. She's experiencing learning about this person, this other, this Jewish man who's living in the basement, and she goes and reads to him. She gets to know him. There's a lot around that. Again, I don't want to give too much away if you haven't read it, but it's a really fascinating story. And it, as I said, I laid on the couch and I read it. If not, I don't think I read it straight through in one sitting, but once I really got sucked in, then I had to finish it. And so that day I was lying on the couch in the sunshine, I really had to finish it. So another thing that is really interesting, it's interesting, I've said it multiple times, is that it is from the perspective of death. And as I was refreshing myself on some of the story, I found this. This is on a website that is summarizing the book, and it says that ultimately the book thief is framed by death's ongoing contemplation of humanity. Death finds it impossible to weigh the value of human beings, with some capable of great malice and criminality like Hitler, and others capable of great strength and bravery like Liesel and Hans. And this is a quote from Death. I wanted to ask her how the same thing could be so ugly and so glorious, and its words and stories so damning and brilliant. Thus is death haunted by humans, just as humans are haunted by death. A jaded metaphysical being so used to dying could only be fearful of, and at times amazed by, those who live. So you get this really fascinating, I mean, it's not only a fascinating look at life in Nazi Germany in 1939 and beyond, a fascinating view of life, of living in this time, of hiding a Jewish man in the basement, but also this really interesting dichotomy of life and death, as told by death, as death is very busy during the war and trying to kind of figure out humans by how they die. So even if you aren't interested in this as a historical fiction novel, you might be interested in just this sort of metaphysical way of telling it from the perspective of death. So again, that is The Book Thief by Marcus Suzak. We are going to take a quick break, and when we come back, I'll be talking about The Nightingale by Kristen Hanna. Stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. I'll be right back.
Still on the search of that one true love? On the limbo in this crazy world of dating, marriage, relationships? Well, listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Relationship Podcast, your one-stop podcast for everything about relationships.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast. Before the break, I was talking about The Book Thief by Marcus Suzak, and now I'm turning from Nazi Germany to Nazi-occupied France in World War II. This is The Nightingale by Kristen Hanna, and actually, as I was saying it, I realized this was the book that I referenced at the beginning, that I really like Kristen Hanna. I've read a bunch of her books, and so I remember checking this one out from the library on the using my computer app, the library website. So I checked it out as an ebook, and I remember just typing in Kristen Hanna and seeing what was new. I didn't even read the book description. I just got the newest book by her and checked it out, and then I was like, oh, hey, look, it's World War II. So we move from Germany to France, and France is maybe not someplace that people often think about in terms of the war, but obviously it was there too. It was occupied by Germany. There was a lot of, you know, so that's a different experience of living in an occupied place during a war. The description of this book: with courage, grace, and powerful insight, best-selling author Kristen Hanna captures the epic panorama of World War II and illuminates an intimate part of history seldom seen, the Women's War. The Nightingale tells the stories of two sisters, separated by years and experience, by ideals, passion, and circumstance, each embarking on her own dangerous path toward survival, love, and freedom in German-occupied, war-torn France. A heartbreakingly beautiful novel that celebrates the resilience of the human spirit and the durability of women. It is a novel for everyone, a novel for a lifetime. So that is the description from The Nightingale by Kristen Hannah. And one thing that I love about Hannah's novels is that they are often historical fiction, but they always also have these really intense family relationships. And so you get very intimate portraits of family. And, you know, it's not always pretty because families aren't always pretty. It's sometimes, you know, sometimes contentious relationships, sometimes very loving relationships, but always, you know, these very real kinds of relationships and family dynamics. And it's the same in this one, where you have two sisters living in France when it is occupied by Nazi Germany. They have very different ideas about what they should be doing in terms of how they react to the war. One sister is married. Her husband is gone. She has a child, and she's kind of in survival mode. And her, I believe it's her younger sister, wants to be doing something. She wants to be much more active. She wants to be out there figuring things out. And so she sees her sister as kind of passive and not really doing anything in order to, you know, affect the war. The older sister sees the younger sister as reckless and headstrong, not really thinking, not really looking before she leaps. I didn't mention this book was published in 2015, so a little newer than The Book Thief, but still not completely new. If you haven't read it, then it's, I highly recommend Kristen Hannah in terms of novels in general and in terms of this podcast, which is World War II historical fiction. So, but it is told from a couple of different perspectives. So it starts in 1995 with the remembrances of an elderly woman who's not initially identified. We know it's one of the sisters, most likely, looking back on the experiences during the war. But the main action takes place during the war, and the sisters are Vianne and Isabel, and they live in France around, again, 1939. So it starts on the eve of World War II, and they are estranged from both each other and their father. And then, as I mentioned, then the book follows the two very different approaches that each sister takes to the war. So Vianne is a school teacher, and as I said, she's married. She has a child. She has to endure, during the course of the book, her husband is drafted and then captured. She then has to live through the occupation of the town that she's in. First off, there's her best friend is Jewish. She has a best friend who's also a teacher, and she is Jewish. And Vianne is not, and she starts seeing the way, you know, the Nazis come in, or even before the Nazis are there, the Nazi collaborators who are trying to weed out the Jews, you know, then she sees how they are registered, how they have to wear the Yellow Star of David. She is seeing all of these things and very fearful for her own life when her husband is drafted. Then she's alone with her daughter. And so we see the war from this occupied perspective when they are occupied, trying to live with rations, trying to live with German occupations. She actually has a German officer who moves into her house. He is in some ways a sympathetic character. I mean, he's not completely evil. He is human. And she learns to appreciate some of the things about him. She actually ends up becoming his lover at one point after her husband is captured. And she also, she does start working then as best she can in this in this situation. So she stays where she is with her daughter, Sophie. She does eventually start sheltering Jewish children. She adopts the three-year-old son of her best friend, Rachel, after Rachel is deported to the concentration camp. And then she starts sheltering other Jewish children. She finds a place to hide them there, and she ends up hiding about 19 children in this nearby hiding place. So we get the story of, we get her story. Then we also get Isabel's story, and she is the younger sister. She's the more impetuous sister. She is initially kind of unimpressed, resentful even of the way she feels that Vian is collaborating or being passive in the war. She isn't around later when Vian starts taking much bigger risks. But the younger sister actually leaves. She decides to take a more active role, and she joins the French resistance. So she's initially tasked with distributing anti-Nazi propaganda. Propaganda. She goes to Paris, and then she becomes involved with a plan to help Allied airmen who downed Allied airmen to escape to the British embassy in neutral Spain. So she takes these huge risks where she is traveling back and forth through the mountains, picking up the downed airmen, running them along a route to neutral Spain. It's extremely dangerous. It's extremely hazardous. And so she has a much different experience, and she actually is eventually captured. And the book gets its name because her code name is Nightingale. She is actively hunted by the Nazis because of this work that she's done. She is eventually captured and goes to a concentration camp in Germany. And hopefully, I know I'm giving away a lot, but really, it's the journey of this book that you want to read. It's amazing. And I think through it, you see you see each sister's point of view. You see how she is frustrated with her sister's, in Vian's case, her sister's more dangerous role, and you see Isabel, who's frustrated with her older sister's more passive role. So you really see the difference, but then you also see that they have a lot in common. They take risks differently, but they both take risks. They both are actively involved in not only surviving the war, but trying to make a difference in their surroundings during the war. It's a really fascinating book, and a very different picture of World War II, because obviously it is in occupied France, so you get that perspective. But you also get the perspective, as the book jacket description says, of the women's war. And, you know, it was the women who were left behind when the men go off to fight, and so it's how they had to survive with very, very little food, very little resources, living under occupation, etc., what they had to do to survive. But also then from the riskier perspective of Isabel's character actually going and finding a way to become involved in the resistance. So two very different sisters, but both playing very important roles, each in ways that are consistent with their personality. So I really loved this book. It was easy to read. I love the family dynamics. I love seeing how everything unfolds and finding out how everything works out, and, you know, what happens even after the war and the results of what both sisters did, etc. So that is Nightingale by Kristen Hanna. And when we come back, we're going to take our second break of the podcast. But when we come back, we're actually staying in France, this time to talk about a book called Sarah's Key. So stay tuned. You're listening to the GSMC Book Review Podcast, and I will be right back.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter, and download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Book Review Podcast and my third book for this episode of World War II Historical Fiction. As I said before the break, it is Sarah's Key, also set in France, or at least it begins in France during World War II. And this time it centers the part during, well, the book in general centers in Paris. This is also like The Nightingale, takes place from two different perspectives, one modern and one during the war. So let me give you the description of that book. Paris, July 1942. Sarah, a 10-year-old girl, is brutally arrested with her family by the French police in the Veldive roundup, but not before she locks her younger brother in a cupboard in the family's apartment, thinking that she will be back within a few hours. Paris, May 2002, on Veldive's 60th anniversary, journalist Julia Jarmond is asked to write an article about this black day in France's past. Through her contemporary investigation, she stumbles onto a trail of long-hidden family secrets that connect her to Sarah. Julia finds herself compelled to retrace the girl's ordeal from that terrible term in the Veldive to the camps and beyond. As she probes into Sarah's past, she begins to question her own place in France, to reevaluate her marriage and her life. So this is Sarah's Key. It is by Tatiana de Rosnay. It looks like it's also been made into a movie, which I think I knew, but haven't seen it. I'm so behind on movies, but I'm also behind on reading. And I, you know, most of the time I would rather read, although I do enjoy watching movies, but this isn't the book, or this isn't the movie podcast. This is the book review podcast. So I am trying to see what year this came out, and I am not seeing it, but when I notice that, I will let you know. So I actually read this one, I'm not doing them in the order that I read them, because I read this one between The Book Thief and The Nightingale. In fact, after I'd finished The Book Thief and I was having my book hangover of, you know, oh man, I just finished a book that I really liked and now what am I going to do? I don't know if you ever get into that feeling of, oh man, you know, I loved these characters and now I have to leave them and I really want another great book, but I don't have the energy to start one just right now and what will it be, etc. And somebody on Facebook recommended that I read Sarah's Key. And actually, this was also published in 2007. So same year as The Book Thief. And it took me a while, but I did eventually get around to it. And as you heard in the description, it's, again, contemporary journalist Julia Jarmond then is researching this day when there was a huge mass arrest of Jews in Paris. They were arrested, you know, taken out of their homes in the middle of the night. They were taken to some kind of a stadium. I apologize that I don't remember what the stadium was, and just kept in kind of horrible conditions. It was really, really hot. They weren't given any food or water. They were crammed in, and then eventually they were taken to camps. But before they were taken to camps, they were just kind of shoved into this place, you know, really treated like cattle. And what was interesting was that you get this very, very really descriptive reading of this night when people were arrested, their experiences, you know, being put on the buses and taken and where they had to wait. Nobody was telling them anything, and then eventually they were put on trains to be taken to concentration camps. And so you get that very detailed description and Sarah's experience and her parents' experience during that time. And that's actually part of The Nightingale as well. When Isabel's character goes to Paris, then she's in Paris when this happens. So you get a much briefer reference to this day and to these actions, but you know, it's talked about, and I was like, oh my gosh, you know, now because I had read Sarah's Key, I actually knew a little bit about this thing. So that's always nice about historical fiction, because you do learn about real events told through the eyes of, you know, fictional, usually fictionalized people, but still you learn more of the humanized telling of these events by people who are or characters who are experiencing them in the book. This book is heartbreaking because Sarah, who is 10 years old, she and her family live in a very nice apartment in Paris. It has this little cupboard that she and her brother played in, kind of their secret place. And she's scared, so she tells him to get in the cupboard and she'll be back and she'll unlock him. And of course, she doesn't come back. She is taken and eventually taken to a concentration camp, and her brother is left alone in the cupboard. And so it turns out that Julia has a connection to this apartment. So once the Jews were rounded up, then people, it sounds like, just moved into their houses, their apartments, etc., just took them over. And Julia's family either was one of those families, or somehow her family has a connection to this apartment. So they actually, as she's studying, as she's researching this, and she comes across this story, then she discovers the cupboard, that it still exists. And she finds out this horrible story. And so it's, again, it's historical fiction because you do get Sarah's story from World War II, starting in 1942, but you also get Julia's story as she is researching this, as she's trying to figure out a lot of different things in her own life. So you get two different perspectives, but, you know, kind of centering on that French police roundup of the Jews in Paris in 1942. So again, it's really well written. It tells really compelling stories. Julia's story is compelling in a different way from, obviously, from Sarah's story. Sarah's story is much more harrowing, but as Julia is researching this story and writing her article, then she is again trying to work through things and issues in her own life, in her marriage, figuring those things out, uncovering stuff about the family that she didn't know before, etc., etc. So you get lots of different layers, and I really love books like that, where you get not only historical fiction, but you also get family dynamics. You get, I really like books that have lots of layers to them. So that is Sarah's Key. Sarah's Key and Nightingale by Kristen Hanna are both set in France during World War II. The Book Thief is set in Germany during World War II. And this is, I've decided now, the first of two episodes that I'm going to do on World War II historical fiction, because, as I said, I did go through a phase where I read a lot. So I think I'll do another episode. That won't be a Tuesday's episode, because I have an interview. This time, not historical fiction. This time, actual history. I will be speaking with author Lisa Perlman about her book, Call Me Phaedra, which the subtitle is The Life and Times of Movement Lawyer Faye Stender. So if you are familiar with some of the events going on in the 60s, especially in the Bay Area, the Black Panther movement, a lot, well, there was so much going on in the 60s, and not only in the Bay Area, 60s and 70s, but this tells the story of Faye Stender, who was a lawyer during that time, and she's a really, really fascinating person. And I'll be speaking with author Lisa Perlman about writing that biography of Faye Stender. So that's Tuesday's episode. I hope you will join me. Thank you for joining me today for my World War II historical fiction episode. Hopefully you'll join me on Tuesday for some history, not historical fiction. And in the meantime, I hope you have a wonderful weekend, and I hope you are able to find some time to get out there and get lost in a good book. Thanks.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Book Review Podcast.
part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. From movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.